Episode 330, November 13th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rob and Joe Show, full house tonight. We're all here. I feel better than last week. Last week, just got back from New Orleans. I feel like I got energy, Joe. We're going to have this is going to be a home run tonight. That's what I'm feeling.
Man, it can only be downhill from here. By the way, what makes you feel that way? There's been like eight arguments before we even got on the air.
Well, no, none of them involved me, though, so...
Sure, a lot of shitting on me before the show started.
I was kind of enjoying that. Now, we weren't arguing. But what was happening is that I could see arguments in the future. So, if you guys know, we've been doing this Patreon thing for almost the whole year now. And we appreciate that. And we're not going to just take that money and use it to buy fancy clothes. And new shoes. We're actually going to build a studio in Joe's new home that's going to make Joe and I, we'll be in the same room together. So we're going to try to get all the bells and whistles we can afford and make the show sound better and hopefully just improve the show on every level. So we're investing back into the show. But of course, that's going to lead to a lot of decisions on what to get, what not to get, how much to spend, and that, of course, lead to arguing, which means the show will end. So thank you.
Well, the first piece of equipment, it sounds like it's valued at everything that we have in Patreon, the first piece of equipment that was mentioned. And then a little bit later in the conversation, it ended up we need two of them. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
And Marcus told Robbie about this piece of equipment, and Robbie was instantly mad. And I want to know, you were mad because Marcus hadn't told you about this before?
I was like, I couldn't believe I hadn't heard about this before. I wasn't really angry so much as I was animated and, this is new information. I'm just finding this out.
You're mad at yourself for not knowing.
I'm sort of mad at myself, yeah.
Well, this is how
we
you
forgive
know,
you.
This is how you know something is too expensive. When the price isn't listed on the website. That's when you know you're in trouble. I want to go to Amazon, and it says $399.99, and we're a Prime member, and we'll have it in 4 hours. That's what I want. But when you have to email someone or call someone, then I feel like we're getting into uncharted territory and scary territory.
Well, the problem
all
is
my
is
Patreon
that...
money. All my Patreon money will become available if we're going to be able to get that.
All right. Well, what we have to do is call... Just call every country that you're in. It gives you the person to call to try to buy this.
Well, let's start with the United States. Let's start with that one.
No, we shouldn't. No, we should start in some third world country. That's what we should do. Same piece of equipment.
Let's get Robbie's girlfriend to call China and get a good exchange rate.
Good idea.
Great idea.
Go down here and see if they list that.
She's actually going to China in January.
Is that a big place? Can she just go pick it up for us in China?
Hey, Robbie. Now, I don't know if you've been following this, but the LeVar Ball, he's the father of the Ball sons who all play basketball. One is now in the NBA. The other one is a freshman at UCLA. The other one's in high school. But the freshman at UCLA, they went to China to play a game.
Yes.
Little Goodwill ambassador stuff. And he and two other teammates got caught stealing sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store, high-end mall in China.
Yep.
Has your girlfriend, does she have any light, shed any light on how serious this is? Are they going to go to Chinese prison? What's going to happen?
I have not asked her specifically about this, those basketball players, but I think they're rather stupid. They heard about that North Korea thing where that guy took that poster off the wall. He died over there. What are they, an idiot? Yeah. What are they, idiots? I mean,
yes, they are idiots.
You're in a communist country. Don't be stealing shit.
Well, don't they also know that regardless of where they are, when you're in a Louis Vuitton store, they're going to have cameras. They don't just let you just peruse around like it's Dollar Tree. They're going to know. Also, do they just have just shit laying out in these stores where they can yoink this thing out?
Yeah, they know
probably because no one would steal. That's because they know that they're going to 10 years in prison if they steal something. So they don't do it. They also,
you're 10
by
years
the way,
in prison if you're here and you steal something, maybe. You know what I mean? It's everywhere you're not allowed to do this. Is it just that we're such entitled Americans that we just go over there and say, oh, this shit is ours? By the way, LeVar Ball's kid, how much money do they already have? He could get Louis Vuitton anything. What's he involved in this for?
You get it for free. Also, and you're risking losing your basketball scholarship. Mm-hmm. You're risking. So look, I did stupid shit and stole when I was in high school, but I risked nothing other than getting whatever would happen to me, a fine. I had nothing, nothing at stake. That doesn't mean Marcus, you should do it.
Marcus just found us a retail price on this unit.
Okay, how much is it?
$2,049.
That's per one. We need two?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm out. Anyway, so it's called.
I'm not buying a car for the show.
Yeah, it's called Zip One, IP Broadcasting. Yeah, we're not buying that. By the way, that doesn't include all the other stuff we need. That's just the one piece that we need two of. Unless we get a lot of Patreons. All we're saying is, Amy Michelle Berger, you better let it go through this month because we need it.
Oh, no. Oh, we need that $5. Cut that out of the show, Marcus.
Oh, no. I'm leaving it.
Really? Now we're cutting things out of the show? Okay.
If you have a complaint about that comment, contact Robbie.
Yeah. Facebook Robbie message Rob Mayer.
Anyway, all good. But welcome. We're going to put together, we're going to be in a studio. Joe and I will be in the same room. The audio will be better and the show will be better regardless of whether we get this fancy thing or not. But we promise you that. So thank you, patrons. You're the reason that we're able to do this. I guess we have to talk about Louis C.K. at some point or during this episode. Robbie, as the producer, do you feel like we have to, or do you feel like we shouldn't? Because
I'm afraid to go down this road.
Hilarious, right?
Yeah, this exact thought occurred to me today that maybe this is not something that we want to tackle.
I'm pro jerking off in front of people.
Yeah. Well, we have to tackle
it. That's a joke, Robbie. Relax. Yeah.
So, Joe, you agree that we have to tackle it?
Of course we do.
Okay. So then, Robbie, since we are vetoing you on whether we talk about it, I will allow you to decide when we talk about it in the show.
Let's get it over with the beginning because I hate doing it at the end.
Okay. In the beginning. That's the producer, Robbie, making that call. So I don't know what there's to talk about. I mean, this is what I think. I think that he will survive this because with everything that's coming out and everything, I'm sure more things and more people, things are going to come out. And look, what he did was disgusting and awful, but it's tame. I don't know if that's the right word. It's going to appear tame compared to you know, pedophilia stuff that might come out and all the Weinstein stuff and God knows what else we might hear about, you know, actual, serial rapists, you know, Cosby stuff. And at the end of the day, it's almost like the steroid thing. Not that this is serious, but that's sort of a victimless crime. But when you realize that everyone was doing it, then people stop caring as much. Does that make sense?
Well, no, you're right about that. Not that that should be what happened.
No, it shouldn't. But I'm just saying what I think will happen.
Here's my take on the Louis C.K. thing. When he came out with his apology, he immediately came out and said, yeah, I did this. So that's going to help him, right?
Yes.
People like to redeem people. He admitted that it was wrong. Now, one thing that he did do was he found a way to make sure that he mentioned that he got consent. Did you notice that in his apology? He said, I thought because I asked before I did this that that made it okay, but now I realize blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's his way of saying, I know I was wrong, but I need to make sure you know I asked. Now, then it gets into this gray area. If the girls are saying he didn't ask, that's a way different thing than if he asked and then they felt threatened. It's way different. Because here's the thing. You go up to a girl and say, hey, can I fuck you? And she says yes, and you fuck, it's nothing.
Right.
But if you say, can I fuck you? And they go, this guy just asked if he could fuck me. Can you believe that? You understand? It's the same action. So there is a gray area in spite of how un-PC it is to feel that way. There is a gray area when somebody says, do you consent to this? Regardless of how odd it is, do you consent to this? And if you say, yes, I consent to it, and then you felt maybe strong-armed into that, or you felt somebody imposed their power over that, I'm sympathize with you. But as somebody who wants to jerk off in front of somebody, that shit can be confusing. Does that make sense?
Well, but the power dynamic is so obvious that he is the one. I mean, you know, he's the top shelf of comedians. He has power, influence. And if you're there talking to him in his hotel room, you're thinking, this is an honor. I get to hang out with this legend. Maybe he thinks I'm funny. Can this help me? Does he see me as a peer? And next, you know, you're just up there so he can do his little fetish thing.
I get it.
And then do you say, if you say something, you know,
in
do,
your
do you
career,
get
I get
listed?
That.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's,
well, in that case, how does a guy
thing to do?
How does a guy like Louis C.K. ever make advances to a woman that he has interest in? What if he has interest in somebody who's a comic and they say, and he says, hey, I'm interested in you. This is the way, by the way, we can't really be upset about the deviants. We're way past that. We allow whatever we do. As long as children aren't harmed, whatever you're into, we say, okay, we're fine with that. If your thing is exhibitionism, which a lot of people's things, after you get, and I'm not saying he got consent. I'm saying in his statement, he said he did. And I haven't heard, and maybe I'm wrong, that this happened without consent. If it happened with consent, okay, if there's no consent, yes. Clearly, you can't just whip your dick out and just start jerking off in front of people. You cannot do that. I'm not even implying that. But if there is somebody in this world, what if LeBron James wants to have sex with somebody? He's always going to be able to have power over whoever that person is. Can he never get laid again? If you get consent just because you have power, where do we draw the line at this point?
Well, having sex with someone would imply the other person, you know, doing something back to you. You know, I think it's pretty obvious if someone wants to have sex with you, they're going to, you know, kiss you back, caress you back, the obvious things. Where this, they're caress in a situation where they're like, well, you know what I mean? Fuck you back. Is that better? I like to be caressed, Joe. I'm a very sensitive type. I know you like just to get right to it.
We don't mind being caressed as well.
Yes. All right. But it's, he knew the, look, he wouldn't, if it was just guy A and girl B and that happens, she's going to be like, fuck you. She's not interested. No way, weirdo, and run out. But because of the power dynamic, now you gotta, this happens in real time. You gotta, wait a minute, what's happening? If I get upset, is he going to be angry? All this shit is going through your head.
No, you don't know what the fuck is happening. Everything you're saying, I get. I hear what you're saying. And I heard a comedian said something pretty funny. She said, when you, if you're jerking off and the other person has their, all their clothes on, there's probably something wrong. Okay. It's probably not okay.
Was that Tiffany Haddish? Said that on SNL too.
Yes, is that who Tiffany Haddish was the one who said that? That's hilarious. Anyway, but she's right about that. Consent matters. If there's no consent, again, you know, people hear that and jump on me, but I'm not saying Louis C.K. is right. What I am saying is if he got consent, give me the alternative. If that's your thing, your thing is exhibitionism.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, are you speaking legally or just speaking morally?
No, I'm talking, if my thing, the what gets me, you know, some people like to be shit on. Do you understand?
Right.
You go, oh my God, this guy just shit on me. Yeah, but anyway, you had consent. You understand? You can, is, if you don't enter the consent into it, then yeah, it sounds atrocious. But if there's consent, that's what I need to know. Because if there is consent, I'm telling you, we're in trouble if we don't allow things after consent. Because then we could say, how do I know in somebody's mind that they don't feel a way different than they conceded? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if they're saying, we never consented to this, well, yeah, you're not allowed to just whip your dick out and start jerking off in front of somebody. But yeah, after consent, you're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want. And there can't be, you cannot be held accountable for not understanding what that people might have acquiesced, you know, they, when they didn't want to.
You can't be, but I mean, when the power dynamic is what it is, look, he knew what he was doing. He knew that they were in a position where they couldn't really say no. And they took advantage of it.
You're putting a lot in the head of the other person. Look, there are powerful people in this world. How does a billionaire ever get laid? Hey, I felt like I had to. Did you say you wanted to? Yes, I did. I did say I wanted to, but really I didn't. But I didn't feel like I could say no because he's, you know, Bill Gates. I hear what you're saying, but you can't just make all these assumptions after consent. I want to reiterate, if there's no consent, yeah, you can't jerk off in front of people. You can't. If you say, hey, this is what I want to do, are you okay with it? If you hear, and again, I don't know that that happened. I'm only reading his apology. Once there's consent, it's not even legal. How are we supposed to figure shit out? If you consent to something, how am I supposed to figure out if it's because I'm, you know, Joe Robinson? Although that's clearly okay, that's a bad example.
But I think it's pretty obvious that no one would want to watch Louis C.K. jerk off in front
of Joe Robinson.
Or any man, unless he's, you know, Brad Pitt or somebody. I mean, it just, I think you have to know that, ugh. I mean, that's, you know, dicks are gross. Nobody thinks
so. You say, can I jerk off in front of you? And then they say yes. By the way, I want to make sure I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just reading into this apology. I say, can I jerk off in front of you? Somebody says yes. And then I jerk off and they go, hey, I really didn't want you to do that because nobody would ever want that.
Because, look, if I, in a situation where I have great power over that person, then I that's why I'm, feel that's given me the courage to ask that question, to say that, to do that in front of them. Where if we're just peers, you know, that would do it, obviously be a more clearly, you know, it would be kind of cool. What if I jerked off in front of you? Oh, yeah, are you into that? Yeah, there would be like a conversation, you know, some little back and forth, as opposed to whatever, whip my dick out. They're like, well that's
there
weird.
Are people that we are very good friends with, whose dick I've seen 100 times. I've seen pictures of buttholes taken and put on people's as their screensaver. And there's been girls in the room. I've seen it a million times and nobody's ever, and that's unwarranted. That's nobody. It's unsolicited. Right. And I know the innocence that's involved there, but if somebody decided 10 years from now to say, let me tell you what happened. This guy grabbed my camera and took a picture of his butthole. And then when I went home, his butthole was on there. And that person is Barack Obama. Right? You understand? So,
or Justin Slager or Tommy Simbazo.
I'm not saying this behavior wasn't wrong. What I am saying is that if it was there was consent, this guy should be guilty of nothing if there's consent. Now, no, I want to reiterate, if there's not, just because you assume that he should know that people don't want that, if he asks for something that's what gets him off, he asks for it to somebody that he's interested in, and they say yes, just asking the question to begin with is where the issue is.
They're going to his hotel room under the guise that they're talking shop and they're being comics hanging out. Not that it's some sexual situation. No, I think if it's, you know, you or I and some woman or just, you know, average citizens and just meeting in a bar, yes, that's one thing.
Okay.
But this dynamic, I think, is different. But I think the real tragedy is can I move on or?
Well, let me ask one question. Okay. Have you ever leaned in on a girl and she's pulled back?
Yes, I'm sure.
It's the worst feeling in the world, right?
Yeah.
What means is that I thought you wanted to kiss me. I didn't ask. I leaned in to kiss you. I got the wrong idea about what this was. You just want to be my friend. You were under the guise we were going to fucking Target together. But I thought you were interested in me, and I got the wrong impression, and you pulled back. That's the same. Again, I get that there's some deviance in that, but what's deviant? We say everything is okay. You understand that if somebody wants to fuck a tree, we're okay with it. We believe in the society that whatever ideas, sexual ideas you're born with are okay as long as children or animals aren't harmed. We are okay with this stuff. We are. And now all of a sudden we say that's the way that he gets off. And then we say, well, this situation, that situation. Okay, if there was no consent. But if there was consent, by the way, I'm in the minority. Apparently he's the worst guy alive. The stuff has been taken off Netflix. What's the show he does with Zach Galifianakis that's so hilarious? That's done.
Baskets, you know, Baskets, I don't think he's the worst guy alive, but he will survive this, but it will take a while. And I think it should take a while, but the real tragedy is that my tweet that I thought was the greatest tweet of all time, you know, it did okay, but it should have made me famous. Did you see my 9N related tweet, Robbie?
I did.
Okay. Well, 3 years ago,
Robbie already said
you didn't like it. Yeah. Well, you know.
No, I liked your Tom Cruise tweet better.
We'll get to that too. 3 years ago, Dan Ninen jerked off in front of a filet mignon on a private jet on the way to a $75,000 gig in Dubai. He was 32. I'm getting a lot of shots. A lot of 26. It's 7 retweets. It's got a lot of shots at 9 in that in one tweet. I think that's pretty impressive. And it's topical. It should have done better. My Tom Cruise tweet today, yes, that also should have done better. And this will get me back to shitting on Tim, which I wanted to do. I said Tom Cruise accused of starring in The Mummy.
See, I think that's great.
I think it's great, too.
See, the 9-in-1 is funny, and it's especially funny among us, but it's not clever like the Tom Cruise one's clever.
No?
Yeah, it was good. But
was the state able to give consent?
So I posted this on Facebook and Twitter. You know my buddy Dean that always goes political and everything?
Yes.
So he says, you know, Hollywood is full of leftist sexual assault liberal. Jesus. So immediately I have to delete it. But then good friend of the show, Tim, says that movie was so bad. Yeah, thank you, Tim. That's the point.
About former show announcer Tim Moran?
Yes. Says that movie was so bad. I know. That's the joke. That the movie. I have to explain.
Okay. I got some great Tim stories. Should we go to take a break and then come back?
We'll take a break. We'll come back and shit on someone who was part of the show 8 years ago. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, November 18th at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, former show announcer Tim Moran, Why did he leave the show again? Wasn't there an argument?
I know why. And he got mad. We asked him to do some voice work. He did it with Justin at the 98 Rock Studios, and he was so bad that we talked about it on the air, and he said, fuck you guys, I'm never going to work with you again. That's what happened. That's okay. I don't want to rehash it. I love Tim. But again, this isn't a story about Tim. It could be we have a friend, okay? So
yeah,
he sent us, two things happened. He sent us a text today. I'm going to go in reverse order. And I'm going to let Robbie and Marcus guess. He's rewatching a show. Now, I believe it's going to be difficult for you to come up with a show. It's nothing to do with it, whether it's a good show or not. It was a very good show. It has to do with you wanting to sit through the subject matter more than once. Okay? I want you to guess what show Tim is rewatching. Then after that, I want you to tell me a worse show to rewatch than the show that he is rewatching right now. Go ahead. Take your guess.
Is it that Netflix documentary?
It is a Netflix documentary.
Yes.
It's called the, I can't remember the name of it.
What's the subject keeper. Matter?
Sorry, yes.
It's the raping priests.
Yes.
It is a story. And it takes you a long time to watch. It's about 10 episodes, right?
I don't know if it's that many, but I think it's 6 to 8. But yeah, it's a full thing.
So it's basically 6 to 8 hours of stories about these serial rapists torturing and raping children over the span of many, many years. That's what it is.
And a murder, which is like the most easily digestible.
The murder is that's the highlight of it, because the nun gets murdered. I was thinking about when the priest died. No, you're right. So in the murder, you're like, oh my God, that's nothing compared to what these other people had to go through.
Unsolved murder. Yeah.
Tim wants to relive it. He's like, I couldn't get enough of it. So I need to re-see this.
Now, this is the guy that can't watch one Redskins game without walking out because he's too upset.
He walked out of a one-score Redskins game. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. But I believe this is the worst. You cannot say anything that's more difficult to rewatch. There are things like Human Centipede or whatever, but that's fiction. You understand? Stuff like that didn't happen. There is a movie like Spotlight, which might be hard, but, you know, you don't really go through a lot of that, more of how they were able to kind of dig through all that stuff. There was still a lot of that in there. That might be hard, but it's not a 6-part series. It's one movie. Yeah. You might watch it just because of a great performance by Mark Ruffalo, you know, but to sit down and spend, he's going to have to invest a week in this, right?
Yeah. And there's no happy ending to this. It's left with everyone that's horrible is serving zero retribution.
Having still working it up as a parishioner, and then that was the end of it.
Maybe Tim's going to try to solve the whole thing. That's why he needs to watch it.
Maybe that's it. I mean, it's super heavy. Now, it's great. I mean, it's powerful, and I would recommend that you watch it. But it's a tough watch. I mean, because it's true and it's horrifying and it's sad and depressing. But he's going at it again, just sitting back on his time off, long day at work, come home, watch some more rape that people got away with. Yay.
There was that movie, what was it called? Was it Happiness? There was a couple really twisted movies that, you know, they just leave you feeling so awful. Leaving Las Vegas was a movie that made me feel that way. Right. I literally cannot think of anything that would be more difficult, and this is, sorry, something that was, I enjoy is the wrong word, something that had merit, that I would want to rewatch less. Can you think of anything that wasn't just a pile of shit that you just don't want to sit through?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's some documentaries on people that have gone to prison for crimes they didn't commit, and they're still in there, and it's just, God, you're just angry. How come they can't get out and seek justice, be let free?
But, you know, about 7 stories about kids getting tortured and raped by multiple men. I mean, even those stories, they're frustrated. It's one person. And these people
and the
are
police and the Catholic Church and everybody.
Yes, there's a big conspiracy.
And the district attorney. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it makes you, basically hate humans and the entire state of Maryland. Yeah, no, it's horrible. And he's watching it again. Maybe because he just likes to see the home team suffer. So this is the home state, if you will, Maryland. Oh, maybe that's what it is. He gets off on the Redskins losing and Maryland having a horrible justice.
Yeah.
That's our buddy. He also did this. We go to this bar. What is I'll let you guys guess, Marcus and Robbie. What is something that an old person might do when they are bring to an event where they'll be sitting for a long time that no one younger would ever do?
Donut.
Yeah, he brought a seat cushion to a restaurant.
I'm batting 1,000.
Well, you hold are. On. He didn't just bring a seat cushion because he didn't want to be embarrassed. So he also brought in a duffel bag to stick the seat cushion in. I mean, he looked like a serial killer, right? I mean, I'm surprised they didn't say, sir, we're going to need to look through that bag. And he's like, no, that's too humiliating. Now, yeah. Where did he get this? Where did he get this seat cushion?
I don't know.
He got it at Costco, which I didn't even know you could buy one of anything there. Maybe he has multiple seat cushions.
Maybe.
But what he said was he was walking through Costco and he saw it and he's like, it isn't like he's like, God, my ass hurts. That makes me think I want to buy a seat cushion. No, he was just in Costco. He saw it. And he's like, okay, oh, I need that. It's like an impulse buy at the register.
And he still left early. He drove an hour to get somewhere, hang out with all his friends and leave. You know, an hour and a half before the game ended with a seat cushion and double bag. What? Now, he's the same age as you are, Tim. Now, Katie wouldn't allow you to do that, right?
I'm Joe, but yes. I mean, we are 2 months apart. His birthday was in October, and my birthday is in December. I mean, I've been in situations where my ass has hurt before, but my pride won't allow me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was thinking today when I was putting my socks on, and I didn't want to sit down to put my socks on, but it's getting harder and harder for me to put my socks on standing up. But I refuse to sit down to put my socks on because that means I'm too old.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, I mean, I'm probably a few years, not too many years away from me not being able to do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to a stadium and it's cold out, you know, I understand that you want a seat cushion as some cold metal seat, but that just seems like once you're past 25, you'd want that. But in terms of just going out to a restaurant and bringing that with, it seems very old manish. It seems like, well, wait a minute, I haven't shit yet today. I can't go out. It seems like that's where he's headed.
Well, how long was he there? There for what, 2 hours?
Well, he also got there before I did, and he bought $100 worth of Keno, but he couldn't see the screen, but he couldn't see it from where he was sitting and didn't want to get up, I guess, because he has that nice cushion. So he just waited until all of his games were over, and then he went over and he turned that $100 into $10.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. We got to guess how much you think I won. Now, he said if he hit all his numbers, I think it was four numbers. And if he hit them all, he was going to win $500. He had 10 opportunities to win $500. That's how much I went. I was excited. I'm like, I wonder if he maybe nailed this, right?
Yeah, right.
And he pulled out a Hamilton.
So he played Keno. He got there early, left early, had a seat cushion, and he ate twice. It was a very Tim day. He also said something to me that made me very happy. He said, because I got there first, which is him and I. And he goes, Joe or Rob, I got to hand it to you. These last 2 weeks, all these texts you've been sending me, I actually hate you more than I hate Joe now. I said, thanks, Tim.
He said that reading our texts is the worst part of his day.
Yes.
but, you know, I was thinking about that seat cushion. And clearly, Katie's not going to allow me to bring that seat cushion. But if I insisted on bringing it, we'd probably get into an argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't like she'd be like, okay, no, if you hurt, she's going to be like, look, who am I dating? You know, I mean, it's bad enough as it is. Coming here with a seat cushion, it's over. I wonder if she would break up with me if I just continually brought a seat cushion everywhere. I think she would.
What if you tried to act like Tim? Is how many days in a row before it's a serious fight? But probably immediately.
Yeah, I can't act like Tim. I can't do that. But and you're I love me. Tim's girlfriend, but they spend a lot of separate time. They spend a lot of time apart, which I get. What's she going to do? Hang out with Tim all day? That can't happen.
Well, you were talking about you guys all turned 50 in 2018. By you guys, there's what, five or six of you. That's the core, right?
Right.
And you want to do a trip. You know, obviously your birthdays are different times of the year, but so some of you won't actually be 50 yet when you make this trip, but whatever, it doesn't matter. But you know, the normal places were cited and Vegas came up and Tim said, all right, here's the weekend. It's in June. Let's do it. And then Phil, who's about to turn 40, so he's 10 years younger, he says, hey, you know, is this a all guys thing? I'd like to bring, my wife. We're trying to get away from the kids. And Tim immediately, no, all chicks. By the way, he doesn't want to go to a strip club. He doesn't want to do anything guy. But he says no women allowed.
Well, here's what I said. I said, if girls come, Katie's going to come. And if they don't, then I'll just come by myself. That's exactly what I said. And he goes, oh, since everybody's bringing girls, blah, blah, blah. I said, Tim, what are you talking about? Then this dick here, oh, God. What he does is he goes, all right, I booked it. Well, he booked it the week before my vacation with my kids. I already told him I couldn't go. So it's because he was so mad because Phil wanted to bring his wife. Now I can't go to Vegas with everybody.
By the way, Phil's wife likes to drink and hang out. I mean, she would be doing exactly what I would be doing.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, you know, you can go do whatever the hell you want. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you can't stand her to be at dinner. You don't want to look at her face.
Anyway, so our good buddy, Eric Woodworth, who we love dearly. He's a comedian and part of our murder mystery. We speak about him often. And Joe and I went over to his house last week to, we have our Christmas murder mystery coming up, and there's a video that starts the show, and we need to tweak some things with the video, and we were going to talk to him about how we might go about doing that. And he says to us, yeah, I've been writing my own Christmas-themed murder mystery. Maybe we can do it next year. And, you know, I just come up with an idea. I just have, like, Act One written. And we're like, okay, let's hear it. You know, I don't know what your expectations were. But would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being something, oh, my God, we got to use it, and 1 being the worst thing ever, where would you have said your expectations lie?
I didn't really have a low expectation. I got excited because these things are, you know, it's not that they're hard. It's that they're arduous, right? To just sit down and throw everything together and calculate who the kids get everybody eliminated. It's a task. So when he said he did it, I go, wow. And then if he's got himself as maybe some main character or whatever, that all was a recipe because, you know, if I'm being honest, for some reason, Eric is, not for some reason, he knows exactly what to do in these. He does this better than he does anything. He knows exactly what to say, exactly what to do in the role we give him. He's always perfect. So I was like, well, you know, he's probably good. What do you got? Let me know. So I didn't really have a level of expectation, but I was excited to hear.
So, and I have a feeling that Mac Bergson will love this idea. We'll see if the rest of you do. So he says, it starts in a similar fashion to our current Christmas murder mystery. It's a holiday work party, gift giving exchange. And there's a giant gift on stage, a big box wrapped up. And whoever gets it opens it. And inside there is a giant sex doll that is really Jeremy Woodworth.
Jeremy Woodworth is his brother.
Yes.
Who is older brother. I think he's about 10 years older. And I like Jeremy a lot, but he's a very odd guy. And that's also his thing, is to also be maybe odd or awkward. He wants to instill uncomfortableness. He wants discomfort. That's it. In the audience. That's his goal when performing.
Louis C.K. jerking off in front of female comics in his hotel room was not as bad as him bringing Jeremy Woodworth out dressed like a sex doll. That would be worse and more offensive. And That's the idea, that that now Jeremy is the star, the heavier but less adorable, likable version of Eric. What Eric is for adorable, Jeremy is for creepy and weirdo.
Yeah, it's, and here's the other thing. And again, I love Jeremy, and you know what? Jeremy really stepped up when we did the Annapolis show. But the two shows before that he said he was going to do, he just didn't show up. And now he's going to be the star of our next murder mystery. I mean, it just seemed like a little risky. Was the way I thought after. Of course, we didn't even think that. We said, no, that's clearly, we're never going to do that. You can stop writing.
Yeah, if your goal is to have record walkouts, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, jeez.
So we love you, Eric, but it is very disturbing. But that's the thing with Eric is the other thing is that we're coming up with ideas. Look, we've all been to Christmas parties where, you know, for example, when we went to the Mike O'Mara show Christmas party and they had the gift thing, Joe ended up getting the tuna squeeze. So, you know, there's always someone that gets a shitty gift. So we were trying to think of kinds of gifts like that to add to the show.
We had some good ones. We had a Michael Bolton Christmas CD. So we had naming a star after you. You know, just a real gift that you could get, right, that was just bad.
But the gift, it has to make sense as a gift.
Yeah. Somebody has to actually give this to you and think it's a good gift.
Right. Like, a bloody glove is not a real gift.
Yeah. How about a picture of me fucking your wife?
Right.
Like, well, that nobody would give somebody that.
That's... Right. But Eric gave about 30 suggestions, all in that same line of thinking. We kept saying, no, Eric, it's got to be a gift that you might actually give. He's like, all right, what about a broken tricycle? Like, what? Why would you? No, Eric, something you might gift. Okay.
Why would you give somebody a tricycle?
Right.
Here you go. I got you a big wheel.
What about a poster with you on it naked? Well, how? No, and he just kept every idea was on that page. We're like, no, how can you be so brilliant? And then this is just...
Pretend you're on stage, Eric. Pretend you're on stage. Now give us some ideas.
But you're the best. Let's take a break. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe show.
Hey, let me jump in real quick about one more Eric story.
Yep.
You know, Eric, if you've seen any of our murder mysteries, you might have seen Eric very, very, very scantily clad, which is, that's kind of his thing. Well, you know, in JSS Uncensored, and for those of you who are not local, that's the show that I fell in on. Rob does sometimes as well, the morning show on 98 Rock in Baltimore here. And they had an uncensored live show. They did three of them. And Eric was at every show. And the premise was two audience members were going to play trivia about that show, about JSS. And every time they got an answer wrong, one of these two guys, Eric's size, Eric and another guy would back up until somebody's ass face was in the ass of this person. So
they're
Eric,
wearing just underwear.
Underwear. One guy was wearing underwear, and I can't remember what top he was wearing. Of course, Eric, I sent you a screenshot of it or a picture of it. He was wearing tighty whities and a wife beater. That's what he was wearing.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was talking to Eric, and I said, "Hey, dude, how much are they paying you for this? You guys want to guess what he got paid to do this?"
Keep Nothing. In mind, these are sold out shows in 300 seat venues.
Nothing. He did it for free. All three shows, he did it for nothing. That's how much he loves being scantily dressed in front of people. He's probably mad he has to keep his underwear on. He doesn't like it.
Oh, he would take it all off. He would. He totally would. He should charge for that. But that's our buddy. That's our Eric, one of the stars of our show. We'll be in the Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. Robbie, that was originally your idea to go there, so kudos to you.
Thanks. Good room.
It's our first time there. We have good ticket sales.
We have really good sales. I wouldn't be surprised if it was close to being sold out. At the time of the show.
Yeah, we have a real good chance of that. We're doing Back to the 80s, and we're adding Danny Ruye to the show of 106.7 The Fan, the D.C. sports station. Hilarious comedian. And Kim Ambrose, who can't make it, plays, this is an 80s show, so she plays Jeannie Bueller from Ferris Bueller, who is obviously a white woman. And we replaced her with Frankie French, a black woman who's Dr. Oz in our Sing for Your Life murder mystery. And I actually think we're going to be able to find a way to make that funny, I think.
Me too. Well, Justin Schlegel will find a way to make it funny. We'll watch it happen.
No, he can't because he's not – well, I don't want to give much away.
Oh, you're right. I can't.
But he won't be on stage when her appearance is her first appearance. So
you're right. It has to be your responsibility.
Yeah, have to be. It'll be funny. But it did get me thinking, could we do the reverse and would it work? Or would that come off as weird?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't do the reverse because people would be outraged that not in local. If it was any larger scale than this, if you were taking a job from what was clearly the job of a African American or black American and giving it to a white person, people would be like, they'd cry bullshit, I guess. Matter of fact, you remember from early on, the earliest iterations of this murder mystery, I had all basically white men doing it. Doc Moffat was doing it too, but one black guy and all white men. And a local comedian took exception to that.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, what I did, and we talked about this before, is I said, hey, I have this idea. And I called Rob and Justin, right? Two of my friends. Uh-huh. And then I called my other friends. What am I supposed to do? You couldn't call some girl I never met before, never saw act, hold auditions for a show that didn't exist in a venue that didn't exist.
With no promise of money.
Yeah. Right. I could only ask people that I had a relationship in order to do that. But somebody still found a way to get mad.
Yeah. But like, for example, and this is an idea that I had, if we do another 80s one, you think of iconic 80s characters, and I think of, Axel Foley, Beverly Hills Cop. Well, I mean, can we have Justin Schlegel play Axel Foley?
Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, Jason Weems would be good, but I mean, can we have Eric play Axel Foley? Eric can almost get away with it because he's Eric, but someone else, I can't.
Yeah, no, I genuinely don't. I mean, you understand that you just made your life so much harder if you're trying to, you try to do that. It's like, I think about the movie Tropic Thunder. You know how good that movie had to be in order for it to be okay for Robert Downey Jr. to be a blackface?
Right.
You know, everybody had to get it. If one person doesn't get it, it doesn't work. But everybody got what they were trying to do. And so as a result, I don't know that we have the, what's the word I'm looking for? The clout to be able to pull something like that off.
I wouldn't want to. I mean, we wouldn't do that. But we have no problems taking, Jeannie Bueller, or we could make Ferris Bueller. We have no problems. It could be anybody that's not white. No problems. Because that's much funnier. And I think it might actually work in our favor. We still love you, Kim, but we'll see. But I think Frankie's going to be good. So come out to the Jam and Java this Saturday. I promised Jeff Hancock free ticket because, he did make the point to me when we were in New Orleans. I think that's when he said it to me. He said, I come to all your murder mysteries and I take all these pictures and, a free ticket would be nice. And I said, Okay.
He actually lobbied for it.
I think he said it in a smoother way than that, but yeah.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, he didn't even need to, he could have just come out and said, hey, if I take pictures, can I do this? We would have said yes.
Yes. So I guess now I have to get him in. So.
Anyway. Yeah, I already had to hook up somebody else that's on here, too.
So I feel like our...
Hold on, you're passing this. Robbie has somebody I've never heard of that's getting free tickets. By the way, my parents have paid for tickets multiple times. But Robbie has somebody. By the way, we get these fans in Virginia. Now all of a sudden you get a hookup. This isn't his girlfriend. This is somebody. Is this some sort of business contact that I'm getting free tickets for, Robbie?
It is somebody who will get the word out to others.
Okay. Well, have they done that yet?
Yeah. Has that happened?
They've never been to a show before. I'm saying that they'll tell other people.
This is somebody I've
they
never
won't
heard
tell
of.
Them about this time. They'll just
is
tell
she
them
in the
time.
Is she in the industry of something? What does she do?
She's actually a family member.
A what?
By marriage.
She's Robbie, you and I are brothers.
Of
she's
my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Have you considered inviting your black friend Phil?
Oh, I'd love to see Phil.
You know what? I will text him. I'll text him right now.
He's okay. Going to say, right. Who's this? When he gets Robbie's text.
Okay. There's three options. He doesn't answer before the show's over. He texts, who's this? He replies very shortly, thanks, but can't make it. And that's it. Or he has a nice reply or says, hey, good to hear from you. What do you think happens here?
Well, he definitely isn't going to come.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even give that as an option. I meant
yeah, it's not coming.
Quite so at least, yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't respond today. He doesn't respond until tomorrow, and he politely says he already has plans.
Okay, but we all
I just texted him. Okay. I said, "What are you doing Saturday night? Let's see if he replies."
Oh, Robbie.
When's the last time you talked to him?
I'll check. The last text was sent on. May 10th.
Hey, jeez. Oh,
so 6 months later, nothing. Just what are you doing Saturday night?
Hey, let's hang. I haven't talked to you since May.
Did he respond to the last text you sent him?
He actually texted me first, and I replied to him. But that's the last time we talked.
All right.
Do you have any friends, Rob, that you haven't talked to since May? I guess you do, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't... Well, if it's a comic, I might do that because they know I'm just asking if they're available for a gig.
Yeah.
Small talk. But normally I would say, hey, what's up? Or, you know, I would just say something other than just right to the point. What are you doing Saturday? And then, by the way, that's horrible. What if you're inviting me to like dinner? I don't want to go. Say, hey, we've got our murder mystery. Have you talked to him about this? Does he know that these exist, Robbie?
Yes, I have. I've mentioned it to him before.
Why do you say that?
Back in May, he mentioned it.
Yeah. Where does he live? Is he close?
He's in D.C.
Okay, so.
Super close.
That's close. Plus, we got the Improv December 19th. I want to see Black Phil at one of these events.
Okay, I'm going to try to get him there.
Okay, thanks.
Can you have to get him free tickets so he can put the word out?
I'd be more likely to be able to get him to the D.C. Improv. I think he lives pretty close to there.
Yeah. You can walk there.
Oh, he's your best friend. He ought to be able to come out and support you.
I never said he was my best friend.
It's on your Mount Rushmore of black friends. It's him in
June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months ago.
All right.
He's probably going to be pissed when he gets the text, Robbie.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you, man. Where have you been for the last 7 months? I thought we were friends.
You're my only white friend.
I guarantee you this guy has a lot of white friends.
All right. Okay. Clearly, if you're one of them. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Like, I'm sure he's real hood. He's hanging out with Robbie. Here's the deal, Robbie. You tell your black friend Phil that if he can come on Saturday, we'll try to hook him up with tickets. Right? Is that fair, Rob?
I'll do it.
Yeah, sure. That's fair.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. I was about to move on to something and then I forgot. Oh, yeah. So our jinx of mentioning, you know, dates on a military murder mystery continues. Remember when we said we're going to Kuwait and then
we held it. We held on to this one. Sorry, you were talking about the previous one. Go ahead.
Yeah, that we did, but the Katie's dad said that's not happening. And then of course it didn't happen. So
but Katie's dad said that because he thought I sucked. Not because he didn't believe it. Yeah, he's like, well, how could something you did do that?
Well, we are going to Kuwait, and among other places, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Djibouti, Africa, and the date has moved several times, and finally when I was confident, we said last week, December 1 to 15, we talked about who will fill in, and now that got moved to January 16 to 31, 15. What is it? 17 to 31. 2 weeks. That's the math.
Can I offer him two tickets?
Wait a minute. What did he say?
He didn't say anything. I'm following up my text to let him know what I'm talking about.
No, I need a response for him to say, yeah, Robbie, let it breathe a little bit. Jeez.
Okay.
No text for 7 months now, 2 and 3 minutes. Jesus,
yeah. Robbie. Yeah, don't let him know you want it so bad.
This guy. So that'll be moved to January, and then we'll figure out who. Well, by then we'll have the studio. Right, Joe?
Yeah, Robbie, we were going to talk about who we were going to have fill in. Is this a good time for that?
Sure.
Who were you thinking? Now, I know you had somebody in mind, right? Robbie's always going to have something outrageous. I already know this. It's going to be somebody like, I'm trying to think. He's going to want Dan Ninen to fill in.
That would be good.
That'd be good. Interesting. And he probably would do it.
No, because it's going to be in my house. I can't have him in my house.
No, you can't have him knowing where you live. That's a horrible idea.
I think my dates are open.
Well, you're obviously going to be involved, Marcus. But in terms of coming to Joe's house and sitting in his base studio in the basement, they have to fit that requirement, right?
Oh, I thought they could do it on Skype. You're talking about somebody has to physically come to the studio. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's going to be the deal.
Okay.
So let's...
Well, then one of my suggestions is definitely out.
Give me the one that's out. Yeah. Give me the one that's out.
Mara Reinstein.
Okay. Right. You would suggest her before Mac Bergson. Wow. No respect for Mac.
So me and Mara would talk about Tim. We talk about Gramps. I mean, is that what we would do? She'd be like, I don't know who Tim is. I don't know who Gramps is. Scott Apple, not familiar. Dan Ninen,
You would not be having the same conversations you have with Rob.
Okay. What about Michael Chamberlain?
He would be since you're going to be gone 2 Mondays, I was going to follow up the next week with him and make him listen to her show and critique her show.
Oh, jeez. You really thought this through. Well,
but
I mean,
Mike's not going to come here.
He might. I have already reached out to him. He's definitely available that day, but
really?
The library's closed.
he told me he's going to Kansas to visit his aunt and uncle, and he's in January, but that day he should be available.
Well, that sounds fun. What about Mac Bergson on Skype? Well, I mean,
yeah, see, that's the thing. If it's on Skype, we've got lots of people available. I think Mac's a great choice, but you're talking about, say, they have to physically come to Joe's house. That limits it a lot.
Well, we're going to have a studio. That's going to be the deal, right? Unless we get this special.
Then no Mac. So you're going to get, you're eliminating the possibility of probably one of the top two or three people you could probably get to do the show and do it the right way.
In the world. Yeah.
Because he doesn't
I'm sure
live.
We get nobody to do the show. Oh, wait a minute. Every local comic that's still here would be willing to do
it. I'm saying Mac would fit in to this particular show in this particular slot better than probably everyone else except for maybe one or two people. And Rob's one of them.
All right. I think we're forgetting the obvious choice, and that's Gramps.
Well, he would definitely come to Joe's house.
Yeah.
All right. So Gramps is here telling his own stories. I wouldn't have to tell him. Just be nonstop stories about seeing tits from inner city women.
Yes, people would love that.
Yeah, how do you think Gramps feels about the Louis C.K. thing? A lot of women show him their tits unsolicited. You know what I mean? He didn't give consent. Next thing you know, it's on his phone.
I think you should play a game. You have Gramps in the studio. You have Marcus ask the questions. And the game is, what happens is Marcus asks a question. Robbie gives his opinion on what to do. Joe gives his opinion. Then Gramps says, who's right? Basically, right. who he's leaning towards more? Which son?
Yeah,
is
but
favorite?
He's going to be very diplomatic in that regard. It's going to be tough because you have to give an odd number of things, so he has to pick a clear, distinct winner. He's not going to like doing that, by the way. That's it. Right now, what he thought he was going to enjoy, he's not going to enjoy anymore. No.
Okay. What if you do 3 segments? One with Gramps, one with Katie, one with Tawanda.
Oh, I'd do that.
Okay.
But you're going to be gone for 2 shows.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's one.
And then Chris Restivo, I guess, for the other.
Yeah, you get Eric or Tommy or Justin Schlegel, somebody like that.
No, Eric and Tommy are going to be with you. That's the whole point.
Jesus, I forgot. Duh.
No, yeah, Justin would be that. A good. Yeah, I'll talk to Justin. That would actually be good. Gramps, Tawanda, and Katie for one show.
Yeah.
And Justin for the next show.
Robbie,
can we have Gramps and Tawanda on the same show?
Yeah. Well, oh, you mean in the same?
Be in your house at the same time, and Rob will be in another country.
Yeah,
he thinks Gramps is trying to bang her. I mean, what do you want to happen?
Yeah, what do you want?
I'm saying there's an opportunity there.
An opportunity for what?
What?
For like two relationships? I want to make it as uncomfortable as possible.
Okay, Robbie, honest question. What would you want to have if you could make anything happen in that situation? What would it be?
I would want the conversation to get so weird that you are uncomfortable listening to it. That's my goal.
No, Jeremy, that's not what we want, okay? You don't want that. You want people to laugh.
I would laugh.
All right. Do you want Gramps and Tawana to make out? Is that what, do you want that to happen?
I wanted to play spin the bottle.
God. So that reminds me, they did this thing on Justin, the JSS Uncensored that I mentioned earlier. Where it was, you can pick one of two things. Like Mike had the opportunity to either shave his head, or I can't remember what the other thing was. And he actually picked the other thing, but there was these two horrible things. You had to do one or the other.
All right.
Justin is afraid of guest confined spaces. So he had to go into this confined space, or Josh Spiegel had to baby bird a Danish into his mouth. He took the baby bird.
Oh,
God, I wouldn't watch. I couldn't turn around to see it. But that sounds like something Robbie would love. Just the everybody in the whole place being uncomfortable and disgusted.
No, I don't like disgusting stuff.
But you want Gramps grabbing Tawanda's ass and making me uncomfortable.
No, it's the hot talk. It's Gramps trying to talk her into it.
Yeah.
Okay, but
that could possibly happen.
But that couldn't offend me. You'd really, that's gonna be funny.
Bingo, bingo.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. That's gonna be fun.
Because you're the third wheel.
Well, no, he can do it with Katie too. Right,
good. Thanks.
Yeah, that's not good.
How about this? How about Joe? You do the show with Robbie's girlfriend. How about you do that? The entire show. You talk about the Hall & Oates concert.
Here's what would happen. She'd film the first half, and then we just would replay that.
These sound like good shows. Damn. All right. Well,
how about Mac, Gramps?
Will you please go to Joe's house, Mac?
How about Gramps calling his clients on the air?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
By the way, let me say this. No matter where he is, no matter what he's doing, if his phone rings, he answers it. I'm not kidding. It does not matter. It could be, oh, my God, Chris Restivo's calling me in the middle of dinner. It doesn't matter. He will pick it up. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about 99 of 100. I'm talking about 1,000 out of 1,000. He will call him right now. Well, he's listening. So, yeah, if you call him right now.
Give Mac his phone number. He'll call during the show.
Oh, God, constantly picking up.
Every conversation is exactly the same. Oh, hey, baby, how are you? Yes. Yeah, I'll come see you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Is that still good? Okay, I'll see you then. Same thing every time.
O'clock, he shows up and they're not there.
Yeah, it's a lot
no,
of
No, normally starts out, oh, yeah, remember I came? I was supposed to meet you Thursday and you didn't show up. Now I was supposed to meet you. Yeah. They never show up.
Black Phil respond.
Nope, no text back.
Black Phil.
Damn,
he's maybe
he
passed,
can be on,
dude.
He can be
he
on the show.
He goes 7 months
too.
Without talking to friends.
Yeah, not very nice of you. You're about to have zero black friends, Robbie. Good job. first Trump, now this. Race relations have never been worse. Well, hey, come out to the Jam and Job if you're in the area this Saturday night. You might meet Black Phil. 7 o'clock, Back to the 80s. Danny Ruyer, Justin Schlegel, Cast of Thousands. And then if you're in Annapolis on Thanksgiving Eve, jumping ahead here, the 22nd comedy show. You get to see myself, Joe, and Justin And the stuttering comic Donnie Singstack and the aforementioned Frankie French. It's going to be an awesome show. Ramshead on stage, Annapolis. That's Thanksgiving Eve, November 22nd. Hey, I said it was going to be a good show. I think it was, right?
Yeah, except for when some people are not going to be happy with my take on Louis C.K. at the beginning, but don't worry, they'll love you.
Yeah, I kept trying to get you to back off that, and you tripled down. So.
Nope, quadrupled down.
Joe Robinson, folks. See you guys later. Next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.